You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a Locked On Podcast Network crossover series. It is Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network, so you know what that means. We are doing a crossover show, Locked On Broncos, Locked On Jets. A big matchup. Both teams coming off a very, very tough loss with Jets to the Jaguars, Broncos on Monday night to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now they get to go have a little bit of Eastern time zone battle over there. We're joined today by John Butchko. He is of Gangrene Nation. He's got a lot of great work over there. Check him out over there, Gangrene Nation. He's the host of Locked On Jets. And we're going to talk about today's, you know, this weekend's matchup, looking at the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball, what we can expect from both the Broncos and the Jets in this game as both teams look to come off of difficult losses. They're both ailing for a win, and they look to get back on track. And what better way to do it? By breaking it down here on a Locked On Podcast Network crossover show. So, John, welcome to the Locked On Broncos, Locked On Jets podcast. Very excited to talk about this matchup. We're joined by my co-host, Cameron Parker, as well.
Yeah, you guys can follow me down on Twitter as well, at Cameron Parker PO. And John, we are really excited to have you on to preview this Jets match, this early Jets matchup, I should say.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, we can commiserate because both of our teams are coming in off, you know, pretty bad losses. So misery loves company, right?
Oh, it was rough. I would say it's rough to say the least. And, you know, I go back and I look at the Jets' schedule and the way that they played. You know, they had a really strong week one showing against the Lions. They played a really tough Jets team. That I feel like that division right now, outside of the Bills maybe, is a very tough division to play in right now in the AFC East. And then obviously a tough loss to the Browns. And then you have to go on the road and play the Jaguars. That's a tough game. That's just a tough four-game stretch right there for the Jets. And, you know, now they get an opportunity to play a Denver team that's kind of struggling in a little bit of areas right now. You know, there's a little bit of frustration brewing in the Denver locker room. So this has all the formula to be one of those scrappy games, and certainly we're going to talk about it here on the Locked On Broncos, Locked On Jets crossover show. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by MyBookie. Also, our good friends over there at Brews Brewery. So if you're a Jets fan in Denver, for some reason, I know it's possible, but if you are, stay tuned. We got a really cool deal for you guys if you want a free beer, courtesy of Locked On Broncos, as well as Vivid Seats. We'll talk about them here in a little bit. So for segment one of tonight's show, we're gonna ask a little bit of questions from the New York Jets side of things. We're going to ask John some of his areas of view on the Jets offense, the Jets defense, and what we can expect, what the Broncos can expect on Sunday from the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. It's going to be a huge matchup. I imagine this is going to be a physical matchup. The last time these two teams played, it was a physical matchup in Denver with Denver coming on top, but there is a lot of talent on this New York Jets team. So, John, I'm going to get right to it, and we're going to look at a little bit the Jets defensive side of the ball. They have a lot of young talent when I look at it. They run a 3-4 defense. One of the biggest offseason pickups for them was Tremaine Johnson at quarterback, at cornerback, and then you have Morris Claiborne, and you also have Jamal Adams, a very impressive safety. Who are some other guys on this defense that have stepped up early and often? I know Darren Lee and Avery Williamson, those guys have stepped up for the Jets specifically. They had a really good game against the Detroit Lions. How have they been in the last 3 weeks since that game is concluded?
I think as far as the linebackers go, it's been up and down. I think that, and this goes for the whole defense. The whole defense had a rough game against Jacksonville. There are blown coverages left and right. Williamson had a huge game against Cleveland week three. If you watched on Thursday night, I think he had 14 tackles. I mean, that was the game where Williamson really showed his value. He showed why the Jets paid him the money they did in the offseason. Lee is a guy who struggled, I think, quite a bit his first two seasons. He was constantly kind of out of position. He was overrunning plays, filling the wrong gap in the run game, and he was struggling in pass defense. It's been up and down for him this year. I think his first 3 weeks of the season were really good. Week four was not quite as good. I'll be honest, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was when I watched it live. I went back and reviewed it again. It wasn't quite as bad as I thought, but I don't think it was a great game for him. So I think these linebackers are up and down. And I know you mentioned the secondary. Johnson was the guy that gave the big contract to. They made him, I believe, the second highest paid corner in the league. And it's been shaky so far, I got to be honest with you. Johnson's a guy, and it's only 4 weeks, so there's time to turn it around. He's a guy who's not lived up to his contract at this point. He was beaten. He was one of the few Jets who had a rough week one in Detroit and a great performance otherwise by the team. He was beaten a couple times in the Cleveland game deep, and the Browns were not able to take advantage of that. And then this past week, he was really picked on quite a bit in coverage, and the roughest play was a 67-yard touchdown that Dante Moncrief beat him on. And with all due respect to Dante Moncrief, the amount of money the Jets are paying Trumaine Johnson, that ought to be a matchup that he should win. So, you know, it's a bit up and down. Now, you also mentioned the secondary, Jamal Adams, who I think is off to a really good start this season. He was the guy they picked number 6 overall last season. He really looks like he's developing into a fine safety. And a guy who's less heralded is his partner, Marcus May, who they picked in the second round last year. He missed the first 3 games with an injury. And in all, he had a rough game against Jacksonville as well. I think, you know, there was a little rust there. But they do have a really nice young safety group. So, you know, there is, you know, there's some young talent on this defense, and there are some reasons for concern.
Yeah, and you have guys like Leonard Williams, Steve McClendon, Nathan Shepard, all on the D-line in the 3-4 scheme with Josh Martin and Darren Lee, you know, and you have Jordan Jenkins opposite as well as an outside linebacker. Relatively, when you look at this Jets defense outside of a couple of positions, you have a lot of young guys, and they are, you know, when they play really well, like I go back to that Detroit game, they looked like they gelled really well in a lot of areas consistently as a defense. The linebackers, they had better drops in pass coverage, really making it a long game for Matthew Stafford. And the Lions have kind of turned it around a little bit, rebounded after that. But more so, I look at the Jets, and I was watching that game, and in my head I was thinking, wow, the Broncos got to go here in a few weeks. These guys are playing with a lot of momentum on the road, big statement win, and they put up a lot of points. So, you know, going on that whole entire thing, having a young defense can be one of those bittersweet things. If it's not working, if things are struggling, at that point, you can go back and you say, all right, well, they're young. They're still learning. They're going through the growing pains. But you go back and you look at the game against the Jets. They lost 20-12. They lost by 8 against a very good Jets team. Not a very good Jets team, a very good Dolphins team right now, who's kind of going through. They just got blasted by the Patriots this past weekend, but they've been tricky. They started off 3-0. Now they're 3-1. And then a tough game on the road in Cleveland. So, you know, two back-to-back road games for the Jets on the road. Tough loss to the Browns. Obviously, on that Thursday night game, Baker Mayfield came in and he played really well in that second half for the team. And then, you know, obviously going on the road and playing the Jaguars, it's always tough. They have a very good defense, and the offense was getting it going a little bit. You know, they lost Leonard Fournette in the process. What is something that the Jets learned defensively about themselves in that game against Blake Bortles and the Jaguars?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I hope they didn't learn anything about themselves, because as good as they looked that week one game against Detroit, they were that bad against Bortles. There was one point where Bortles was 15 for 16, and the announcers didn't mention that. And I sat there and I said, really? Because I didn't remember him hitting any great passes. It just had breakdown after breakdown in coverage. So I think, you know, I'm not sure. To the extent we learned anything, it would probably be negative. I think this week we may learn something about the Jets, how they respond from that, because there were busts left and right. I mean, they were just bad busts. I mean, there were guys, it was just really poor zone coverage by the Jets all the way around this last Sunday. So, you know, the Jets are going to look to bounce back this week, because, you know, everybody saw that Monday night game. The game week 4 against Jacksonville was not shown as widely around the country. I could tell you, as good as they looked that game against Detroit, they looked that bad against the Jaguars.
You know, on the offensive side of the ball, there was a lot of question marks coming into the season as far as, you know, do they go after quarterback? Well, they went after and they signed, you know, Josh McCown, you know, to at least solidify things. They brought him in there. And then they went out and they decided, hey, you know what? We want to get that franchise guy. We want to get Sam Darnold. But in the process, even before that, they went out and they got Teddy Bridgewater, who, in all honesty, sort of solidified by the depth of the position. And he was making case that maybe he might be a potential starter in week one, but as you know, fate would have it, and with it being a first round label with Sam Darnold, it really seems like Sam Darnold is, you know, you're seeing the talent level of him. You're seeing the growth of Sam Darnold, and you're seeing those flashes, in my opinion, of why he was that first round pick or that number three pick. I mean, he's a cerebral guy. He's smart. He's accurate. You know, what's been the transition period here as we've entered week four, past week four, with Sam Darnold?
Well, he's hit a little bit of a rough patch. I think the last 2 weeks have not been that great for him, but it's a tough spot for him. I think any rookie quarterback, you're going to have stretches where you don't play particularly well, stretches where you're making mistakes. There were throws he was able to make last year at USC that you're not able to make at the NFL level. And there's not, in all honesty, there's not a lot of talent around him on this team. The offensive line, which I think is, in my opinion, is the biggest issue on this team. The offensive line is not particularly great. There's not really a standout player on that offensive line, so I think, you know, that's an issue. I think the receiving core has been disappointing. I think there were expectations on this receiving core heading into the season. Quincy Enunwa has lived up to them. Quincy Enunwa has become Darnold's go-to guy, but other guys who were part of this group have not really lived up to what the Jets were hoping to get out of them. Robbie Anderson was a guy last year who probably would have gone over the 1,000-yard mark had Josh McCown not gotten hurt, and the Jets were forced to play Bryce Petty the last three games. McCown got hurt against Denver last year, actually, in that game the two teams played. Bryce Petty had to go in, and the passing game really stalled. Anderson really has become kind of a non-factor in this offense. He's fumbled twice in the first 4 weeks. Doesn't really have much production outside of a touchdown catch he had week one against Detroit. And I'm kind of worried, because last year he really developed himself as a deep ball specialist, and it seems like the league has kind of caught up to him. The opponents are giving him big cushions now, trying to take away the deep ball, and he's not really responded. He's not really refined his route running much. He hasn't diversified the route tree that he runs. He's not that explosive with the ball in his hand, so you can't just throw it out to him if they give too much cushion. So that's, you know, that's an issue. So Darnold's working with a lot of issues right now. You see the raw talent. You see there are individual plays there where he does something really impressive that you wouldn't expect a 21-year-old rookie to do, whether it's, you know, hold the safety, manipulate the safety with his eyes, whether it's read a disguise coverage. So, I mean, you see the flash. You see moments where you appreciate how good he's going to be once he puts it all together, once he gets used to the speed and complexity of the NFL game. But I think right now it's still kind of a work in progress, and he's fighting through a rough patch.
You know, you were talking about, you know, with that rough patch, but also with, you know, with Quincy Enunwa. And one of the key things with a quarterback is you at least have to have one, at least have to have one reliable guy that you can trust. And you talked about Quincy Enunwa, and his growth has been something of, you know, at least that's been, in my opinion, unnoticed by NFL wide receivers, just because his growth from year one to year two and him even moving up the depth chart has been pretty impressive. I mean, he's really turned himself into a really good possession receiver, and he's making himself a potential number one, or even, well, at least with the Jets, a number one wide receiver. And even to that point, it's also, I guess, a little bit questionable, because one of the guys you didn't mention was Terrell Pryor. You know, they brought in Terrell Pryor to be that guy, to maybe even be that number 1A or 1B, or maybe even a number 2 wide receiver. But, you know, Quincy Enunwa, he really has sort of established himself and solidified himself as that number 1, or should I say number 1A, 1B with the New York Jets.
Yeah, you're absolutely, and you hit on it perfectly. It's been a steady upward trajectory for him. He was drafted in the sixth round of 2014, spent most of his first year in the league on the practice squad. Year two, he makes the team, and they actually kind of used him in a tight end sort of role, because he played it in college. He played at Nebraska when Nebraska was running an option type offense. So in that kind of offense in college, wide receivers are kind of relied upon to block on the perimeter. And at that point back in 2015, which was the year after he was drafted, the Jets really did not have much at the tight end position. So they almost kind of used him as an H-back, as a blocker who was kind of a secondary receiver. He wasn't really a featured part of the passing game. Then 2016 comes around, and in part because he grew as a player, and in part because Eric Decker got hurt, he took on a bigger role in the passing game, had a successful year. He became a guy they moved around. They put him outside. They put him in the slot. They still used him a little bit as H-back. Last year, he lost to injury. He was injured at training camp practice, but he's come back this year, and the trajectory continues to go up. As you mentioned, he's become Sam Darnold's favorite target. He's become a guy who's, he's almost kind of a receiver running back hybrid, because he's really tough to bring down when the ball's in his hands. The Jets love to get him the ball in the screen game. So he's just, you just said it, he's a reliable guy who has shown nothing but progress since he entered the league.
And that's huge for the Jets at this point, because they are a very talented young team, and I think it's only a matter of time. I know there's a lot of frustration, when I check on Twitter and I hear some Jets fans talking, there's a lot of frustration with Todd Bowles. You look at the Broncos side of things, there's a lot of frustration with Vance Joseph. But we're just talking here with John Butchko, host of Locked On Jets. Very awesome talking to him about the Jets defensive side of the ball and the Jets offensive side of the ball. What we may be able to expect this weekend from the Broncos-Jets matchup. Sam Darnold, a lot of hype right here. A very promising young quarterback talent that, myself and Cameron were very high on before the draft even happened, hoping that Denver might have a chance to get their hands on him. But that's not the case. He's now a Jet. And with that, we're going to talk about the Broncos side of the ball. John's going to ask us a bunch of questions regarding the Broncos offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, what we may expect to see against this Jets team on Sunday in their matchup. But as I mentioned at the top of the hour, today's episode is brought to you by Brews Brewery. Now, Brews founders Charlie and Ryan, they both met at a Belgian beer tasting that Charlie was conducting, and the rest of the history is in the glass, and they had a lot of years of brainstorming, preparation, and a dream to make a Belgian-style brewery in Colorado become a reality. It is today, and you can check it out over in Denver at Brews Brewery. So if you're a Jets fan and you're in Denver and you want to catch the game and you want to get a free beer on the house, tell them the Locked On Broncos sent you the first beer on the house. You mentioned this ad on the podcast, your first beer will be on the house. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Brews Brewery. They offer a wide selection of year-round seasonal and specialty brews, including sour and cask aged beers and special limited releases. If you have a dog, you can bring your dog with you. They have very dog-friendly. It's inside and outside, and they even have a dog food menu for your dog as well, and they have 100% Belgian-style beers. And at Brews, they believe that quality is king. Only the very finest ingredients are used to produce small batches of truly authentic handmade beers. Fine Belgian malts, hops, spices, fruits, and a diversity of Belgian yeast strains that ensure superior quality with no compromise to the taste of your beer. And despite economic realities, they refuse to rush a brew. So head on over 1675 West 67th Avenue, Suite 100, Denver, Colorado, at the intersection of 67th Avenue and Petco Street. Once again, that's Brews Brewery, 1675 West 67th Avenue, Suite 100. Check them out. Mention the Locked On Broncos podcast and the ad, and your first beer is on the house. As well as the Locked On Podcast Network has a lot of amazing things going on right now. Locked On NFL is becoming everybody's daily favorite NFL podcast. It features the local experts on the biggest stories of the week. Tuesdays, you get to hear from Sage Rosenfels, former NFL quarterback. He jumps in and joins Matt Williamson. And Wednesday, you get to hear from Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus. And Thursdays, you get to hear from ESPN's Mike Sando. Friday, you get to hear NFL picks with Matt Williamson. The Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you all the latest news and action every single day. And with that, the Broncos and the Jets head into battle this weekend. And with that, we got to talk about MyBookie right here. Now, MyBookie is the number one premier sports betting website for you today. Right now, they're slammed with new bettors. They want to give you guys the best opportunity to make money today, and they're doing that. If you're willing to wait till after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they will give you an additional $25 of free play on deposits made of over $100 today. And all you got to do is go to MyBookie. You sign up, you make your first deposit, and guess what? They will match you dollar for dollar. And you can do this by entering the special promo code LOCKEDON25. That's locked on, the number two. The number five is one word. And you get to activate that very special offer. So visit MyBookie online today. And when you create your account, use LOCKEDON25 as your promo code, where you can claim up to $1,000 in free play. Like I said, if you wait till after 7 p.m., they will throw in a free $25 of free play by using promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, and you get paid with MyBookie.
Here on this crossover Wednesday episode of Locked On Jets, Locked On Broncos, I'm John from Locked On Jets. Now we're going to take a look at what's happening with the Denver Broncos. So, guys, I guess I have to start at the quarterback position, because I think one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons the Jets tried to traded up last year during the NFL draft from 6th to 3rd overall was that the Broncos were sitting there in front of them and they wanted to get ahead of the Broncos, because Denver was a team that logically, it seemed like, was in the market for picking a quarterback. Broncos, of course, signed Case Keenum in the offseason. So how does this team's quarterback situation look right now? Does that look like the right decision, do you think?
You know, that's a tough question. Right now, Broncos country is kind of up in arms. You got, you know, a 50-50 split. I think Broncos fans are very frustrated right now, because they're at a dilemma where they thought that coming into this regular season that the quarterback issue had been solved. They didn't have a quarterback dilemma anymore. And right now, as it appears, there appears to be some sort of quarterback drama right now, quarterback for Denver once again, and it's the same kind of narrative. And this is my kind of point before I kind of go a little bit deeper into this. Anytime I think that the Broncos are going to have a quarterback, you're going to have that pressure. You're going to have that shadow of Peyton Manning and the shadow of John Elway that you always have to live up to that expectation. For me, I feel like Case Keenum is trying to fight that pressure right now. I think that's something he's dealing with quite a bit. His play has absolutely regressed from looking at it in comparison to last season. At this point in the year, compared to last year, Trevor Siemian had a better yards passing, more touchdowns than he has interceptions. Right now, Case Keenum has 3 touchdown passes and 6 total interceptions on the season. It is kind of frustrating for Broncos fans. And realistically, I think a lot of them, if you're able to catch the Monday night football game, late in the game, the Broncos were driving. This is where something that Case Keenum has been really good at. They've been down in games. They were down against Seattle. They were down against Oakland. Case Keenum led them down the field to win the game. At this point, it almost appeared like that was going to be something that was possible. He connected deep with Jeff Heirman on a route that he got tackled on about the 45-yard line. And at this point, the Broncos had no timeouts. Case Keenum, he goes and he fires a pass to Demaryius Thomas, who really much ran it. He ran a cover two fade. The Chiefs were playing a cover two defense. Demaryius Thomas had a great release. He stemmed the DB, got him back on his feet, and went outside, released. Case Keenum overthrew what would have been a game-winning touchdown for the Broncos here. That right there, I think, was the most frustrating point for the Broncos and really Broncos country. And I think the players, it was very deflating. And then they'd go on to lose that game to the Chiefs. There is some frustration. There's some unease. There's some unrest right now in Broncos country, because right now they're believing that quarterback, you know, guy you're bringing in, that you're going to pay $18 million a year. You have an easy option out after 2 years. But right now it's looking like the Broncos just paid for a more expensive version of Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, we know the longtime Denver receivers, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. Are they still the guys the Broncos primarily lean on as playmakers? Are there other guys?
I mean, yeah, there are actually. I mean, if you look at you know, Cortland Sutton, he's really emerged, you know, as that number three guy. But you know what's really interesting is that if you look at their whole wide receiving core, it's better than it was a year ago. And that, in essence, you know, falls a little bit on the quarterback position, because they're not getting a whole lot as far as the wide receiving is concerned. Now, granted, Emmanuel Sanders has been their best weapon this season, and Demaryius Thomas, he's getting better in spurts as far as being that clutch wide receiver when it matters in the third and fourth downs when they needed him. But he's still searching for a little bit of that consistency. But I mean, as far as the actual wide receiving core and the weapons, it is better. But again, it sort of like falls back on the play of the quarterback, because it just has not been the best. And when it's not the best, it sort of trickles down to everybody around it. And, you know, one of the difficult things is that the Broncos are still trying to find, well, I shouldn't, who knows, they might have found their identity, at least running the football against the Chiefs, down on Monday night. But I mean, if you look at it, who knows if they decide to run the football consistently, because, you know, it's certainly one thing that they should do come postseason time, but we'll see ultimately what happens. But the wide receiving core itself is better than it was a year ago.
What's the state of the offensive line?
Right now, you know, I think it's better when – so last – you know, on Monday Night Football, the Broncos O-line first series, they absolutely struggled in terms of pass protection. Garrett Bowles, second-year guy. The Broncos invested a first-round pick on him last year. He has had a rough start to the season. His first two games against Seattle and Oakland are pretty solid, pretty consistent. From that point, he's gotten beaten by Terrell Suggs, Justin Houston. He gives up sacks. He gives up big holding calls. I believe he's had four holding penalties in the last 2 weeks, or four or five, and he's given up two or three sacks. That is not something you want from a first round pick. He has been an absolute struggle for this part of the season outside of a couple games. And at this point too, you know, the Broncos are looking at right tackle Jared Valdir, a guy who couldn't stay healthy against the Raiders. He comes in, doesn't play too well against the Baltimore Ravens. He struggles in the first series, the first half, against the speed rush of Justin Houston and Dee Ford of the Chiefs. He hurts his knee, and then Billy Turner comes in. And from that point, the Broncos, you didn't really see any error on the right tackle side of the ball, so that is a bright spot for the Broncos. But if I had to pick out one guy on the Broncos offensive line that has absolutely dominated his opponent in front of him, that is right guard Connor McGovern, one of the strongest guys in the NFL, self-proclaimed. You know, he's a strong guy, but he has a tendency of burying dudes. He graded out this week as one of the top guards from Pro Football Focus on the All-Pro Football Focus team, courtesy of their stats over there. He graded out the highest. He's on the all-time list right now for this week for how he performed. He's aggressive. He's great in run blocking. He's great in pass protection. And it helped out, too, that the Broncos had Andy Janovich as an extra offensive lineman. He plays fullback, but they utilized him as a blocking guy on pass pro. He was huge for the Broncos as well. The offensive line, outside of there, I'd say from the center to the right side of the field with Billy Turner and Connor McGovern, that's your strong suit. But right now, you know, all pro, left guard, Ron Leary and Garrett Bowles, they have had their struggles, to say the least. So it's kind of something that, going into this matchup with the Jets, you really have to look at, okay, I think the Jets are going to take a page out of Kansas City's book. And with that 3-4 scheme, they're going to be aggressive. I think they're going to send a lot of pressure at Case Keenum, because they found that if they can rattle Case Keenum, if they can get pressure on him, and if they can kind of utilize those weaknesses at left tackle with Garrett Bowles, and maybe in between Ron Leary and Garrett Bowles, they have an opportunity with an all-out blitz, I think, to really rattle the cage and make some plays with their very talented young secondary that the Jets have. So at this point, I think that would be a good matchup we might see in this game. Is I'd expect the Jets to be very aggressive against the Broncos O-line.
Now, taking a look at the other side of the ball, we all remember that incredible defense the Broncos had 3 years ago, and we all know Mr. Miller. I think anybody who follows the NFL knows the greatness of Von Miller, and the Broncos, of course, added to their stable of pass rushers by picking Bradley Chubb in the first round of the 2018 draft. How do you guys feel about this defense right now? And of course, they are coming off a difficult loss where they lose a late lead in the fourth quarter on Monday night against the Chiefs.
I think for me, you know, when you look at the first 3.5 quarters, it was great. You know, I was on the verge of giving our defensive coordinator, Joe Woods, the game ball, just because he was calling such a great game plan where he was just disguising a lot of the coverages or bringing the house, you know, every chance he got with, you know, different blitzes. And it was starting to rattle Mahomes a little bit, but then he started going back to this old system, this habit that he would, you know, do in previous games, where he would, instead of having your main cover guy be on Travis Kelce, which was Chris Harris, you know, you rely on Brandon Marshall, who's at times this season been a complete liability in coverage of tight ends, and obviously Travis Kelce exposed that. And then you just saw, you know, Patrick Mahomes go to town when they decided to even go into zone coverage, and it started to really kind of go a little bit, you know, down south for the Broncos. But it is a good defense, at least with what they have. But I mean, there's just still some holes in essence with this team as far as the front seven might be the best, at least not front seven, but the defensive line is no question the best of the unit. The secondary is its biggest question mark alongside with the linebackers. And, you know, it's frustrating because you see them give up so many big plays and you just don't know where it's certainly coming from, because you've seen the history of these players, you've seen how good they can be. But as we all know, since some of these players were from that 2015 defense, Father Time's going to catch up with it eventually. And, you know, you wonder if some of these young players like Josie Jewell is going to get more action at linebacker, or guys like, you know, maybe, you know, even an Isaac Yiadom down at cornerback, who played pretty well in the first 3.5 quarters, but we'll see what happens in the Jets game. But, you know, the consistency and the lack of covering of big plays is a big key for the Broncos this year.
Well, and John, you know, to kind of touch base on that too, I wouldn't necessarily say it's Father Time. I would say more so it's scheme. With Wade Phillips, you went a lot of cover zero, cover one. The Broncos with Joe Woods running a lot of cover three, a lot of cover four is their base package. They play a lot of zone defense. Last night, you know, on Monday night, when you go back and you look at the Broncos and Chiefs game, for three quarters, they played aggressive man-to-man coverage. They disguised it. They'd go zone on one side, man on the other, just depending on who was the matchup, whether it was Tyreek Hill, or whether it was Conley, or whether there was Kelce lined up out wide. They had a multitude of different plans based on, you're going to see one coverage on one side of the field, you're going to see it on the other. But in the fourth quarter, when they were up 10 points, they went zone coverage and played conservative. And at that point, that is a big reason why they came back and won. Joe Woods reverted back to that whole entire conservative approach, and that absolutely hindered the Broncos. You had Chris Harris Jr., you had multiple Broncos defensive players fuming mad because the Chiefs were facing a second and 30 late in the game, and the next play, you know, Patrick Mahomes connects for a 23-yard pass play, and at that point, you experience a 35-yard give up following that with your outside linebacker on Demetrius Harris. Things fell apart for the Broncos there, and it's because they got too conservative. A lot of frustration right now in Denver. Before we get to that, you know, we're almost nearing the end of the show. We got to talk about our keys to the game, so we'll give our keys to the game, and we're going to hear from John what his key to the game is if the Jets want to come out and win this game. Coming up in segment number three, but also this episode was also brought to you by Vivid Seats. We want to thank them for being a sponsor of the Locked On Podcast Network and their shows during this amazing time. And Vivid Seats is the top source for you and your family for all tickets, for all live events that you want to go to. If you want to go to the Jets and the Broncos game this weekend, utilize Vivid Seats today. Vivid Seats is giving listeners of Locked On Broncos, Locked On Jets, an exclusive promo code for new customers, where you can receive $20 off of orders that consist of $200 or more, where you could save even more money. All you got to do is download the Vivid Seats app in the App Store or Google Play and use promo code Locked On, that's one word, Locked On, to get $20 off of orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. And like always, every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. This is awesome for you and your family. Huge game this weekend at MetLife Stadium, Broncos and the Jets, and Vivid Seats can have you locked on with the Locked On special code Locked On for $20 off of orders of $200 or more. And a really cool thing about Vivid Seats is you can sort by prices, or you can look for seats in a certain section or row of your choice that you want to sit in, and they give you great deals as well. So make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. Alrighty, segment number three. We're about to close it up over here on the Locked On Podcast Network's crossover series, Locked On Broncos, Locked On Jets. We're joined by John Butch, co-host of Locked On Jets. Very awesome discussion early on about this kind of dilemma. I think both teams are kind of at a crossroads right now, struggling. Jets 1-3 on the year, Broncos 2-2. Could easily be, at that point, they could easily be 0-4 or 1-3 as well, based on how some of these games went. They got a lucky, you know, a comeback win against the Raiders in week two, last second field goal. Those things can make a big difference. But, you know, right now, 2-2, you're at 500, coming off a loss. Both teams coming off a loss. We got to look at, keys to the game. And, John, I'm going to give you mine. I'm going to keep it short. I'm going to keep it sweet. For the Broncos, in order to win this game against the Jets, you have to get pressure on Sam Darnold. Von Miller has not had a sack in two games, and he was almost limited. You know, he was ineffective against Mitchell Schwartz and trying to get to Patrick Mahomes. The one time he got to Patrick Mahomes, he went to go wrap him up. Mahomes took it to his left hand and threw it with his left hand, being not even being a left-handed player. That was kind of something that summed up how the Broncos played on Monday night against the Chiefs. Von Miller, after a very good start against the Seattle Seahawks, 3 sacks on Russell Wilson, 1 sack on Derek Carr week 2. He has not had a sack in 2 consecutive weeks. You got to get to Sam Darnold. You mentioned something earlier that the offensive line is kind of shaky for the Jets. You have to get pressure. You have to go man-to-man coverage on guys like Quincy Enunwa, as well as Terrell Pryor, Robbie Anderson as well. These are weapons in the wide receiver game that can hurt the Broncos if they sit back and they play in a zone defense. I think Darnold is very effective, especially when it goes against going against zone teams. He's going to have a lot of film study this week. They've had a little bit of an extra day of preparation. For the Broncos, you have to be aggressive defensively. You have to get to Darnold. You have to play aggressive coverage on some of these very talented receivers.
Yeah, and for the Jets side, I'll give you two. First of all, they have to figure out their coverage. If they can't bust as many coverage, and I know this is generic. This is probably like generic studio show pregame analysis, but the Jets just can't bust the coverages. They have to figure out what they're doing. And part of that, I think, is that there are certain coverages, certain coverage schemes they're going to have to throw out. There were certain things they did last week against Jacksonville, which the players just could not execute. And if players can't execute it, it's got to go out of the game. And there was one coverage in particular that they ran twice. The Jaguars ran the same play against it twice. The Jets busted it both times, one of which went for a big touchdown. And to me, if your players can't execute a coverage, you should know that that shouldn't be in the game plan. Some of the other stuff's just more basic, better communication in the secondary, you know, when you're switching guys on crossing routes. But overall, the Jets just need to cover better. And I'll give you one on the offensive side of the balls. I think the Jets need to scheme a little bit better on offense. They need to run plays that make it easier to execute. You know, I watch certain teams, whether it's the Rams, whether it's the Chiefs, you know, the opponent for who played the Broncos, of course, on Monday Night Football. And they use pre-snap motion. They use formations to create busts, to create easy throws for their quarterback. And that's just something I don't think the Jets have done enough of this year. And the Jets offense is run by a couple guys, as you Broncos fans may be familiar with, Jeremy Bates and Rick Dennison. Bates is the offensive coordinator. Dennison runs the run game. And I think that that's just something the Jets need to scheme a little bit. They need to create easier completions for Darnold, easier plays for this team on offense, because I think the Jets right now are struggling on offense. There's a talent deficit in certain areas. They need to rely on their X's and O's to kind of work around that to a degree. So I think those are my two keys. And guys, I do want to leave on one thought, and it's something my listeners probably won't love to hear, because I had another Jets writer on Locked On Jets yesterday, and we reminisced about some of the rough moments in Jets history, which there are many. But the Broncos coach Vance Joseph is actually an infamous part of Jets history, because he was an undrafted free agent the Jets signed when Rich Kotite was their head coach back in 95, which was the Jets were an absolute laughing stock at that. I mean, I know there's people laugh at the Jets, but nothing will ever top that era when they went 4-28. This was a guy, he was an offensive player in college at Colorado, played quarterback and running back. The Jets signed him, and they lined him up as an undrafted rookie convert to the cornerback position, put him on an island against Tim Brown on the Sunday night game. Tim Brown, it was a pretty great receiver.
Yeah.
And he got torched. So that there is a big tie between the Jets and the Broncos in this game. And it's Vance Joseph, the head coach, had a short playing career, but it was an infamous part of Jets history.
Well, you know what? I'm sure Vance Joseph's kind of reaction excuse. He probably had a great week of practice. That's my guess. we hear that in Broncos country quite a bit. Is, you know, after a game, the Broncos lose and they fail to perform in certain areas. And the first thing a lot of people hear is, well, we had a great week of practice. Well, yeah, but you didn't have a great turnout or a great end result in the game, you know. So I could only imagine that. If we could find a clip of that, you know, John, I would love to tweet that out. That might be an interesting discussion point this week on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, that'll do it here for our Locked On Broncos, Locked On Jets crossover series matchup this week, 11 a.m. Mountain Time. If you are in Denver, Jets and Broncos kickoff from MetLife Stadium. Tough road test for the Broncos, as well as both teams, the Jets and the Broncos, look to rebound and get back on the winning track. The only issue is only one team can win. Unless they end in a tie, then nobody wins, and then we're all miserable for another week. So at that point, we're hoping this is going to be a fun, competitive game. Hopefully, both teams can come out of it healthy and with a lot of clarity for the identity that they have going forward in a very tough NFL season. AFC West versus AFC East matchup. I'm Cody Rourke, speaking for my co-host Cameron Parker and John Butch, co-host of Locked On Jets. We'll see you this weekend for the Broncos and the Jets.